across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Meet Herbie Adams. He's a stand-up comedian who was born within a stone's throw of our studios in Cambridge, and he's coming back to the city. Herbie, who also has TV presenting, acting, writing and musical credits, went to Morley Primary School and played in many Cambridge bands before pursuing a career in comedy. His comedy journey began in his mother's hair salon in the city when he was just 5 years old. He's worked with the likes of Groove Armada and Dizzy Rascal on the music scene. I'm delighted to say Herbie joins me now on the phone. Very good morning to you, and thank you for joining me today.
Hello. Hello, Danny. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm very well. You're actually the first person I've spoke to today, apart from my wife, in the early hours as she went off to work. I grunted something along the lines of, goodbye and wish you well, love. And so I'm a bit croaky, and I spent all yesterday doing a voiceover job. I was stuck in a little booth for 8 hours, talking as in the voice of a Brussels sprout. So bear with me if I sound a bit croaky.
No, that's quite all right. Anyway, so first of all, I mentioned about your comedy journey beginning in a hair salon in Cambridge. How did that come about, and how did people respond to somebody of just 5 years old?
I was probably attention-seeking, to be honest. It was the hairdresser. I don't think the shop's still there. It was along Blinko Grove, that's where we lived, which is opposite Morley Memorial Primary School, which is where I went to as a kid. And I'd come home from school, and I must still be working. And it's back in the days, this is in the 70s, all the old ladies used to be lined up along the dryers, having their blue rinses and all the rest of them. And I'd go upstairs and get my little box of wigs and outfits and come down and try and entertain them, and mostly annoy them, I think. But yeah, that was kind of the beginning for me of trying to make people laugh. Yeah.
Yeah. You're obviously synonymous with the city in so many ways, and having been to school here and played in bands. So when did you leave the city, and why did you decide to move on at that time?
Well, I was a drummer, which I still am from time to time. And I was at college and stuff. I was at what was called then CCAT, which is the Cambridge Poly on East Road. And I was playing lots of bands at the time. I played in band called Indiscretion. These are bands you've never heard of, by the way. we won Best Young Band at the Cambridge Rock Competition at the Corn Exchange back in the 80s. The guitarist from that went off to do other things, and he ended up being part of Ezio and Booger. The guy's actually called Booger. He's from Cambridge. You may have heard of him. And he went on to play with Dizzy Rascal and various people. And then Ryan Robertson, who was only 17, he played with us for a couple of years, and he went on and joined a band called Dio, you might have heard of, Ronnie James Dio from Black Sabbath and Rainbow fame. So that was my very early beginnings in music. And then before I left Cambridge, this is the early 90s, there'd never been really a ska band in Cambridge. You know, the sort of two-tone madnessy kind of stuff, Daniel. You might be too young to remember any of that.
Oh, no, I remember some of it, to be fair.
Yeah, it's there'd never been a ska band in Cambridge, so me and a couple of mates decided, let's put a ska band together. The idea being, we'll hopefully get all the party gigs and gigs in university, you know, in the student unions and stuff. And it did, and we were called Colonel Hattie. And we went for quite a few years playing around Cambridge. We had a really good time. And but I got to the point where my dad got to the point, if I'm fair, I was still living at home, and he said, look, come on, if you're going to do this seriously, you make a living out of it. Go and get a proper job as a drummer. So I did. I put a bow tie on and started playing in light entertainment. And that's from there, really, that I slowly got off the kit and progressed into comedy. But yeah, I had a great time playing in bands in Cambridge. It's back in the day when there was bands playing on every road around that time, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And a lot of the bands were even underage to drink, but and so were their followings. But it was a real big live music scene back then. I think it was before the dance culture kicked off, really, that sort of changed a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's good to hear there's a lot of bands again now in Cambridge, a lot of young bands starting up, which is quite exciting, which is good to hear. Yeah. But that's what happened to me, and I went off. I ended up backing people like Jimmy Cricket and Cannonball and all those old school kind of comedians. But I was just sitting behind the drums thinking, do you know what? I wouldn't want to go at that. And slowly but surely, I'm actually quite shy, believe it or not, like being centre of attention unless I'm on stage. I slowly worked my way off the kit and became a comedian myself. And I've been very lucky to have earned a living all these years from comedy, so I'm grateful and very lucky to do what I do. But yeah, I'm in London now, and my plans are, now I've got a little girl and a wife, is to move back to Cambridge, because my wife's originally from Cambridge as well, and we plan to move back this summer.
Yeah, and what's bringing you back to Cambridge in particular?
Well, if I'm honest, the first reason would be monetary, because we currently live in West London. My wife's got a dog walking business in West London. She walks a lot of celebrities' dogs, so it's quite a surreal life. People knocking at the door who've just seen on the telly 10 minutes before. She's called the Fairy Dog Mother, and she's a lot of fun doing that, and we've done very well. But now we've got a small one. She's sort of she's not able to do obviously as much as she did, and obviously I don't want her to. So we'll both spend as much time with our little in as we can. So we're moving out. We're in Chiswick at the moment, and it's very expensive. It's very nice, but it's very expensive. Not that Cambridge is cheap, but it's much cheaper than where we are. So we're looking for a little village somewhere on the outskirts of Cambridge, sometime in the early summer.
Well, there's plenty that come recommended anyway. So, obviously, you talk about your love for comedy and how you've made a living from it. So, you've performed in comedy clubs, universities, cruise ships, casinos, theatres, festivals, and so on. Which place has been which place has been your favourite to perform at, and why?
Well, obviously, there's always a buzz if you do a big theatre or a nice big festival tent, or you know, that kind of gig. It's lovely and you get a big buzz from that, but you can't rely on those gigs all the time, unless of course you're a household name who can put your name to your own tour. I'm not, and I've never really played it that way. My thing has always been to earn a living, and aside from supporting people, I love doing comedy clubs mainly, because that's sort of where it's really at. That's where it's all about writing and trying new material every time, and that's sort of like, for me, that's the most sort of gratifying side of it. But I also do family show, and like you said, I went on to the cruise ships mainly to keep earning a living, because a lot of my friends, especially on the London circuit, it's becoming harder and harder to earn a living from comedy because there's so many people doing it, which is great. But obviously a lot of comedy clubs aren't even charging to go to on the door now, so people are going and trying stuff for free, which is great, but if you do it full time, it's made life a bit tricky. So I've got a lot of friends, and even friends that have appeared on those panel shows you see on the telly in the daytime, quite a few of them are driving Ubers now. So I've managed cunningly over the years to not do that by having fun in different comedy pies. So like I say, yesterday I was doing a voiceover job, I'm doing a comedy club gig on Friday, and then next week I'm doing a couple of Butlins gigs, doing a family show, which is a completely different thing again. But that's what keeps the wolf in the door for me and keeps me working.
Yeah. Now, you talk about your family-friendly sort of work as well on your website. Just how common is it in the world of comedy to have a sort of friendly, family-friendly version of you, if you like? And is it kind of like a USP for you in a way? And also, you know, when you're doing
it's
shows...
It's a weird one.
Yeah.
People can't get their head around it. They go, you do this, but you do a family-friendly show. How does that work? And basically, I've never been a particularly sweary comic, and I'm it's a mad thing for a comedian to say, but I hate offending people. Which is, I don't know why I do comedy, really. But I like people to go away feeling like I had a good time. So I have got a family version of what I do, which is palatable for younger kids as well, which they usually find amusing. I guess a guy in his 40s making a fool of himself on the stage. So, and I enjoy that. I do enjoy that. I wouldn't say it's up there with doing proper comedy with a ticket-paying audience, and it's more about turning the audience into an audience and trying to keep their attention for an hour, as opposed to doing your best stuff. But, you know, it pays the bills, and I enjoy it, and I'm grateful. I've travelled a lot doing the family show. I've done a family show in, I think, over 30 countries now. So, you know, I've got a lot to be grateful for as well by turning that way. There's a few of us that do it, but not many. Yeah.
And obviously, when you're doing different shows, how hard is it to switch in your mind between audiences? So, for example, if you're doing a sort of more adult show one day and the kids the next, is it quite difficult to sort of think, oh, better just tone that down a bit? Is it? What's the sort of thought process for that?
It's not easy, and it does take a bit of head work. The best example of that is I've had 5 years off doing a pantomime, and I took a panto on this year because it was in Epsom up the road. But I thought, well, I could commute and I can spend time with my family over Christmas rather than being away in digs. So I did panto again. And then the day I finished panto, I went off and did a comedy club to get my chops back. And it's a very strange feeling. It's the first few minutes, at least, because you're in one mode and you have to try and kind of change gear completely. And, you know, a ticket-paying comedy audience don't want to hear you say, you know, oh, no, you don't, it's behind you, do they, really? No.
Just a final question, if I may, as well. What do you love the most about Cambridge? What do you love the most about Cambridge, and how good is the comedy scene here?
Right. Oh, comedy scene's quite healthy, isn't it? I know the Portland Arms put on regular nights. The Junction has a regular comedy night there with lesser-known comics, and comics also on tour. The Corn Exchange now and again puts a headliner on, doesn't it? And Rob Coleman, he's still putting clubs on, I believe, around the schools on the outskirts of Cambridge. Can't remember the name of his comedy brand. Have you heard of Rob Coleman? He's from Cambridge.
Yeah, I've heard of Rob,
funny bloke, big hair, glasses, yeah.
I know who you mean, Distinctive, can't miss him.
He's run some very successful nights as well. And a few years ago, I did move back to Cambridge for a few months, and I put on a club deliberately on a different night, not to tread on Rob's toes, at the Fountain. Is that still called the Fountain in Cambridge?
I think it is. I think you'd be right.
Yeah. I think it's changed a lot since we did this. This is 2-3 years ago now. But we did two nights there, and they both sold out, and it was really good fun. And there's a lot of hunger for comedy in Cambridge, and the audiences were really good. So we're planning on maybe doing a bit of that again, finding another venue, and doing that again later in the year. That was me and my friend Simon, Simon Lee Morgan, who's also from Cambridge.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you very much indeed for your time, Herbie. Thanks for joining us today, and we look forward to welcoming you back in the city in a few months' time, I should think.
Yeah, I'll come and say hello, Daniel. By the way, mate, do you know, we've got something in common. Your name's Daniel Baker, which obviously is the same name as Danny Baker.
Oh, yeah, I've had that a lot over the years.
I bet you do. He's one of my heroes. Well, my real name, okay, is because Herbie Adams was invented years ago when I started doing comedy, and I was too shy to be myself, so I became this Herbie Adams. But it's stuck, the name's stuck, and I've become more myself, but I'm called Herbie Adams. But my real name is Kevin Hart, who's the biggest grossing, he's brilliant as well, American comic in the world currently. So I'm stuck with Herbie Adams now. But yeah, we've got something in common. We've both got famous people's real names. There you go. It'd be great if Kevin Hart's real name was Herbie, but I'd probably not.
No. It'd be quite remote, Oz, wouldn't it? Thanks very much indeed for joining us, Herbie, and all the very best with your work.
No, you're welcome, Daniel. Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to coming back to Cambridge. I'm looking forward to going and watch Cambridge United again and taking all the gigs in and doing all the stuff that you do in Cambridge in the summer. I love Cambridge, and I always think of Cambridge. I've lived in London a lot of years, and I think if Cambridge was a borough of London, it would be by far the best borough, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people would agree
with
that.
Lovely place to live, yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks for your time, Herbie. All the best.
You're welcome, Daniel. Cheers.